Inside Security Podcast with Martin and Steve Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joe sits there and sparkles while the vet's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
It's the long-awaited episode 183 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast. My name is Martin Fisher. Glad you could join us today. On the Skypes with me, I've got my good friend Andy Willingham. Andy, how are things in your neck of the woods?
Not bad. I can't complain. But 183? Man, it seems like almost 7 years ago we started this, and we're already to 183.
Yeah, time flies when you're pontificating, huh?
Yeah, and we're slow.
Compared to some people. Also joining us from Indianapolis is our good obligatory News Yankee, Steve Reagan, who is, I don't know how it works, Steve. You spend, a week and a half at security summer camp, and then you feel obliged to take a week of vacation?
Yeah, isn't that great? I loved how that worked out.
That's went to Vegas for a week. Don't work and then for a living.
Well played.
So unfortunately, Yvette is not going to be with us tonight, although I know this is a topic dear and dear to her heart, and our good friend Joseph Sicoli remains on sabbatical, and I'll pour out a little bit of my Fresca, to remember my homie during post-production editing. So third-party risk assessment, third-party risk programs. Andy, you and I are in the healthcare world, and that is sort of the new hotness. But if we think all the way back, all those months ago, to the breach that people can't stop talking about, and that would be Target. That was the turning point for people talking seriously about third party risk. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I'm sure there were some. But I can't think of a breach that involved a third party like that prior to Target. And then it just seems like almost everyone since then, there has been that third party aspect to it. And I don't know if it's because it is, fairly new, or becoming more popular, or if it's just because it's one of those things like, you never notice a car until you buy one, and then all of a sudden you see them everywhere you look.
So there were a couple of party-related breaches prior to Target, but the reason why Target is the go-to standard for third-party breaches is the fact that there was nothing as big as a result of third-party screw-ups or a company implementing a third-party tool and not paying attention to added risk it exposed them to. And it's really interesting. We were talking about this offline. Target was an HVAC incident.
Right.
So if you consider the fact that HVAC is the new hotness for some researchers, that's really what they want to take on. And then you get some of the more fluent, I guess would be a way to describe it, IoT devices you see. That's your third-party risk right there that the modern enterprise is going to be facing. I mean, your HVAC system's an issue, but I would worry about the new gadgets your employees are bringing in, especially after Christmas and things like that, the toys.
Yeah, and I think there's that part of it, but let's talk specifically about healthcare for a minute because that's where Andy and I work, and it's all the cool kids are in healthcare these days.
Well, that's debatable, but go on.
those of us that actually work.
There you go.
Kiss my...
Yeah, don't give us that explicit rating.
Yeah. So one of the things that in healthcare, so for those of you who aren't in healthcare, let me kind of give you the 30-second spiel. Hospitals or covered entities don't provide all the services that are in a hospital. You'd be surprised how many of the clinical folks that you would engage with during an inpatient stay, how many of them are actually not employees of the hospital. Everything from emergency department physicians to anesthesiologists to phlebotomists may all be contract employees. Some of the folks who are running the technical systems are not actually employees of the hospital. They're from some vendor. And hospitals have to have if these folks are going to be having access to protected health information, we have to do these agreements called business associate agreements. It's a contract. It's an addendum to a contract where the verbiage is really spelled out by the Department of Health and Human Services, and the third party is, you know, asserting that they're going to comply with all the various aspects of HIPAA and HITECH and the ARRA and a wide variety of compliance regulations. And what's happened generally in the past is people signed business associate agreements and then filed them, and they were never seen from again. But in hospital world, the regulators are paying a lot more attention now to business associate agreements because they're seeing post-Target and after other big breaches that these third-party vendors, these people who are doing work on your behalf and have access to your network and access to all your network resources, can bring a huge amount of risk because they don't necessarily have to follow all of your policies, and you don't have the ability to control the systems they're using. And it's becoming a bigger and bigger issue, I think, everywhere, but especially in healthcare in the U.S. And, you know, Andy, I know, you know, you and I talked about this a while back. I mean, you're sort of a newcomer to the healthcare world. And I think even you, having come from financial services, I think you might have been a little surprised with the level of coverage that you have, and unfortunately, the level of, you know, immaturity that you and I find amongst our peers in the space when it comes to third-party risk.
Yeah, you know, in the financial world, you know, third-party assessments were definitely a big thing, and they were very thorough. I have to admit. I mean, and being at a massive bank, you know, they had the funding to make them very thorough. But then when you go into healthcare, again, they need to be very thorough, but you don't always have the funding. And, you know, so you do what you can do to try to make sure that everything is either buttoned up, or if it's not, that you've documented it and got it there. But yeah, I mean, I am surprised at, you know, because in financials, there's pretty clear point of demarcation. This is requires a we call them the TAPISA, third party information security assessment. This requires a TAPISA. This doesn't. And in healthcare, it's almost like this requires a TAPISA. Why? Because it's healthcare. Right. No, because HIPAA has defined PHI as anything.
Yeah,
you've got a chair and it's in your bedroom. That's HIPAA. I mean, that's PHI. I mean, it's almost that broad. So yeah, it's very challenging.
And I think the challenge for a lot of places, especially for folks who are just now starting up or trying to build out, you know, a third party risk program, is it's not easy. And some of the big challenges I've seen is there's not, in a lot of organizations I've seen, not just healthcare, but across a lot of different verticals, is there's no one organization that does intake for vendors. I mean, supply chain management, you know, is supposed to be one of those things where, you know, you can go to your supply chain org and they're managing everything. And that's just laughable in most organizations because you have lines of business with shadow IT organizations or even shadow supply chain organizations that are out there making deals, and bringing consultants and contractors and temps on board. So there's, you know, capturing who's doing what is huge. But then I think the other challenge is once you do identify where those people are, I have been – what's the right word? So there's got to be an adjective somewhere between stunned and horrified as to the immaturity of so many vendors that we try to engage with. I mean, the ongoing joke in our office, it's two guys working out of a storage facility in Macon, you know, using the free Wi-Fi from the coffee shop – you know, with a whole bunch of AWS instances to get this thing done. And so when we send them our questionnaire, and we have a risk-based questionnaire that, you know, the more sensitive the data that you work with, the more questions you've got to answer. Sometimes these vendors just have no clue where to even start. And being able to turn around to the business and say, look, these guys, you know, can't even adequately describe the infrastructure they're using. We should not do business with them is a tough conversation sometimes to have with the business.
Oh yeah. And especially because at least what I've noticed is it's, you know, at the you know, the 10th hour when you become aware of this particular contract that's about to be entered into, or a renewal that's coming or whatever. And, you know, they're ready to sign in 2 weeks. And, you know, by the time you get your questionnaire out, returned, reviewed, more questions asked for clarification, you know, and then you come up and say, hey, guys, we got some pretty serious issues here. They're like, we signed yesterday, or we have to sign tomorrow, or, you know, it's definitely a challenge. And like I say, some of these vendors, they are, you know, I had a conversation with a vendor not long ago, and they're like, if we do what you're telling us we need to do, we're losing money on this.
And there's usually a really long pause after that where you're thinking into the phone, that's not my problem to solve.
I'm not that heartless, though. Okay, yes, I am, but anyway.
Andy Willingham, you're going to lie to the whole world on this podcast.
I took it back. I took it back.
But I think there's sometimes these things are a two-edged sword. I mean, I've been in organizations where the risk assessment would just go overboard, and it was hard to sell the business. I mean, you know, if you're, you know, let's say that you were doing a risk assessment of someone who was not even going to have logins, they were simply going to have, you know, people coming by to, you know, pick up recycling, right? I've seen organizations that would send like a 300 question Excel file for them to fill out, and when really that wasn't required. On the flip side, I've seen some where they send, you know, you're giving the people your entire EMR, or you're giving them access to your entire ERP system, and you're only asking 10 questions. I think the challenge for a lot of folks in InfoSec is coming up with a rational risk-based system that they can defend to the business. Because I don't know about you, Andy, but a lot of times the folks in the business seem to almost be defending the vendor in a lot of these situations.
Oh, yeah.
And I get that. But it's a lot of times it's up to me to sell the risk program to the business. And I think if we can start demonstrating, hey, you know, people who were just minimal risk, here's the 20 questions they get. People who were handling, you know, some sensitive data, this is, and then there are folks that were giving the keys to the kingdom, they get, you know, the full third degree. And I think what's really helped me has been educating the leaders in the lines of business as to we're trying to be reasonable and we're trying to be respectful of the vendor's time. And then present back the risk analysis, not in the form of you can't do business with these people, but basically telling the business, if you decide to do this, this is the risk you're accepting. You know, nudge, nudge, do you really want to do this?
Oh, yeah.
My experience has been that's a lot more effective than trying to be the third-party compliance Nazi that I think some older programs, and maybe it's people who are spinning up programs now, try to end up being.
Yeah, well, we've got and this is my personal philosophy. I mean, I adopted this several years ago. You know, where I don't tell them no. When they ask me, should we do this or should we not? I tell them, I say, that decision is your job. My decision is to find the, you know, determine the risk and to explain to you what that risk is, and then to, you know, make some recommendations. And, you know, it's up to you to make the decision. So I'm not going to tell you no. Excuse me. I'll tell you, you know, what issues there are, what the risk is, and, you know, and how we can potentially make this work.
Yeah.
But it's up to you to make the decision.
The way we phrase it in my shop is, we don't say no. We might say not like that. And we'll help steer the business into agreements or into processes that stay inside the guardrails, but don't tell them they can't do something. Because I don't know about you, Andy, but there's nothing that will get a hospital administrator absolutely convinced they're going to do something than some low-level flunky saying you can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of like telling your wife, I am going to watch the game this afternoon. Right. I don't know about you, but that never works here at Fort Armor Guy.
Well, it does if it's the game that your child is playing. Yeah.
Oh, see, then you'd be at the game, not watching it on TV. So, yeah, your kids aren't quite old enough for that part of it yet. Trust me on this one. So, Steve, I'm really interested from your perspective on the outside. I mean, you know, people like me and Andy deal with this third party risk stuff all the time, and you have probably a broader view across it. Outside of my healthcare echo chamber, are people talking about this?
So that's why I sat silent. We were talking. Rarely do I get that kind of conversation. And frankly, you guys are screwed. Sorry. It does not sound like a pleasant experience at all. Are people talking about it? Last year, no. This year, for whatever reason, yes. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that people have seen an uptick in two things. The first would be supply chain issues. And it's not just, you know, third-party vendors leading to a data breach. This is, you know, contract issues, money issues, sourcing issues, things like this, but also insurance. Insurance, when available, is really starting to narrow down what you're looking at when it comes to the type of protections you can get. And a lot of policies as they exist, if they cover third-party issues, they only do it in a very thin line, but most don't cover it at all. You're on your own. That's a big problem for a lot of companies when they're trying to look for this type of, you know, security insurance. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of this now. But most of the conversation I focus on business. So you've got your retail, you've got your hospitality industries, you got legal, things like this. Rarely do you hear healthcare come up because a lot of people just assume healthcare is covered by HIPAA. There you go. And there's so much more to it than just that. I mean, I was reading something just like a couple of weeks ago before I went out to Vegas. And, you know, if you get infected by ransomware, that's counted as a data breach. Even though data was never exfilled, you lost control of it. So now you're going to be punished.
See, now you're trying to make me ragey, right?
No, I'm not. I was genuinely – I did not know that that was an issue. I didn't think that was a thing. You know, because you can't control – I mean, yeah, you can control ransomware, but not really. I mean, it's so diverse that it's really hard to protect against one type of variant.
Yeah, when, that's a topic for another show. So,
but you see my point. I mean, healthcare is something I rarely get to hear about. And when I do hear about it, it gets very layered, very confusing. But yes, conversations about third-party risks are something I hear, just – not in your area.
Yeah. So, I mean, fortunately, I think what's maybe helping is we're starting to see the development of services that can help with this. I mean, we've seen before, you know, there are GRC tools that would help automate sending out the 300 question, you know, Excel file to your vendors and then, you know, nag them until they submitted something. But I think we're starting to see certain services, and I'm not endorsing anything, but, you know, BitSight has been out there for a little bit where they're providing scorecards that you can use on vendors. I'm sure in each vertical, there's a specific one. I know in healthcare, there's a company called Coral that's doing some interesting stuff. So I think that's what's helping, because the challenge is that if you have to do third-party risk assessments completely on your own in a vacuum, it's not very helpful to you. And then imagine yourself as the vendor where you're getting, you know, for every single customer you have, you're getting a different questionnaire formatted in a different way, asking different questions. The amount of time, effort, and energy they've got to spend just answering questionnaires. I don't blame some of these vendors for pushing back, but this is because it's not necessarily a dungeon of their own creation, but you know, there they are locked in the cell with me.
So here's a question for you both then. Given the situation you just explained, does that make it more beneficial to you and the vendor to have a single party relationship when possible? You have a vendor that can handle a lot of different areas that you need, so you just have one single relationship to deal with.
Potentially. The thing is, I think the people who are making the final acquisition decisions, the compliance challenges associated with it almost never enter into the picture. You know, to Andy's point, it's, you know, the compliance folks in a lot of organizations are told, hey, we're signing this contract the day after tomorrow, or even worse, we signed it 6 weeks ago, and purchasing won't let us submit the PO until this checkbox is done. That's the real challenge, is that a lot of times in the line of business, they may not be thinking of the fact that they need to have these sorts of assessments done. You know, your mileage is going to vary vertical to vertical. Your mileage is going to vary company to company within a vertical. But my suspicion is, generally speaking, that unless you've got a really matured process out, third-party risk assessment is always behind, and the business doesn't really give it much thought unless and until they need you to do something so they can execute a contract or get a purchase order or do something similar.
Yeah. And along those same lines, you know, you the comments you said that the business really doesn't give it much thought. That goes back to something that I thought of just as we started talking about this. So, you know, we started off talking about Target and how, you know, their breach was via a third party and it happened to be an HVAC vendor. And that was kind of the impetus that you know, made third party assessments the, you know, the poster child that it is now. But you know what? I wonder, and I would even venture to say that most companies that are starting and have started doing third-party assessments are not looking at their HVAC vendors and are not looking at those type of vendors that are not directly touching their sensitive data, whether it be PHI or PCI or PII or whatever it may be. You know, they're still overlooking the, you know, the big shiny object that started this whole thing off.
I think you're absolutely right, because everyone needs, you know, no one can do the full Monty on all their vendors. I don't think that's possible. No. So you go, all right, who has access to what? And you probably pick your top 20 largest folks to do a deep dive on. And then you figure out how many resources you have to do that annual assessment. And you figure out how many you can do and you draw a line. And that's what you do. And that's not unreasonable. No one has the resources to do everything. You've got to come up with some sort of rationale. But, you know, the cautionary tale is sometimes it's that person below the line who gets you owned.
Yep. And if I was the bad guys, that's where I'd be looking.
Yeah. But, you know, actually, our hope is if you're a bad guy and you're listening that you will – your heart will grow two sizes after you listen to this, and you'll turn away from the forces of evil and join the forces of good. Join the blue team and help us protect the world.
Start doing third-party assessments yourself. You probably know more about them than they do.
Probably. Could you imagine that? A criminal goes to pop a company, and he's just looking around, and he's like, oh. He just sends this note like, look, I feel really terrible for you. I was going to rob you, but this, I can't. This is not, it's too easy. So I'm going to fix some things, and here's some policy you need to start implementing. And he just, like, gives them all of this stuff to help him out because he just felt so bad. That would be funny. That would be absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, and that's going to be a movie starring Will Ferrell at some part, I think. So, well, guys, we have used up all of our time for the evening. So, guys, fantastic conversation. And to everyone out there in podcast land, thanks for listening. And on behalf of the president, Andy Willingham, and Steve Reagan, and the wishes she could be here, but she's watching people move furniture, Yvette Johnson, we want to say good night, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, y'all.